Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marcia Cook. Good Story is a Good Story, World of Ink. And every time I hear that intro, I know I'm getting a new one. I know it's probably new to some, but I cannot take it anymore. I have to have a new one. And but it's very informative, as they say. And I wrote it, but I need a new one because it's just, we are doing a lot of different new things. And we got a great show today. And they're Ink Spell authors with Melissa Keir, and she's been on several times. In the past, she hasn't been on for a while. I don't know, time flies, I guess. That's what they say. But we'll go back to that in a minute. Let's see. The one thing that's new is I put something out the other day because I know that people are really loving all the TV shows, and I love some of the shows. So what we're going to do, I haven't even told Virginia that, but I'm starting a new thing where I'm going to do, people can, I'm going to have people come on the shows that love certain shows like, This Is Us or, Big Little Lies or Homeland. And we're just going to talk about the shows and the writing and the characters because I think more than before, there's some really good shows on with really good writing. And I think so many people enjoy it. And after the shows are over, we all want to talk about it with somebody. And probably most of our husbands aren't listening to some of the shows that we watch or some of our friends. But it will be fun. So I think I'm going to start it. I wanted to start it in May, but I think people are saying start it. So I might start it, and if anybody would like to come on any of the shows, just you can go on my Facebook page, Marcia Casper Cook or World of Ink, and just, let me know or call me. But anybody's welcome to come on. You don't have to be an author. This is just going to be fun, and we're just going to have good discussions. And I'm looking forward to that because I think it'll be a way to get other people involved in writing and hearing about the characters because we all have our favorites. Okay, enough about that. So I think right now, and then next week there will not be a show, and the week after that, I have a couple shows coming up, regular shows, which I'll get to later. But let's introduce, let me have Melissa. Hi, Melissa, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you, Marcia?
I'm so happy to have you on. It's been a while, so I'm really happy that you came on and you brought a lot of your authors, a few of them, and so I think we're going to have a good time tonight. So do you want to say who you are?
I think it'll be a blast.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah,
who
my
are you?
Name is Melissa Keir.
Tell everybody who you are. Good. Okay. All right.
All right. Well, why don't I start? My name is Melissa Keir, and I write my own small-town romance series and write about some hot cowboy westerns. And in addition, which I don't broadcast very much, is I am the owner of Ink Spell Publishing, where I help some wonderful people get a chance at their dreams. And so I have brought some of my fabulous authors on tonight so we can talk about some of the books that they have coming up.
It's great. It'll be fun, because, and you don't really talk about it because there was a while that I knew you and I didn't even know you had, Ink Spell authors. So I'm so glad you brought them on. So let's see, do you want to pick somebody to go first or, all right, I'll tell you who.
Sure, why don't we start with Wendy?
Okay.
She's out in
Wendy,
the middle of the
Wendy,
woods.
I'll give them their names. I'll give the names out so they'll all know who it is. All right, KG Fletcher's here, Kelly, Susan Vaughn.
Hello.
Okay, and Wendy.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm Wendy Duketch. It's the hardest name to pronounce.
That's why I didn't pronounce it. I do that a lot because I can't pronounce some people. I don't want to sound like I'm an idiot. So I just go, okay, because there's not too many other Wendy's on the show. So it'll work out.
It's perfect.
Yeah, okay.
So
and okay. All right. And so do you want to go first, Wendy, maybe? How's that?
Sure. I can go first. My name is Wendy Duketch, and I write young adult fiction. I also write women's fiction and adult contemporary romance under a pen name. I write young adult under my actual name. My seventh book is coming out in May, and that book's coming out with Inkspell. It's a young adult book called The Bodyguard. And I'm really excited about this one because it's something close to my heart. It's sort of a take on the Wonder Woman Amazon legend, but sort of a what if Wonder Woman's great-granddaughter, what would she be like? So I'm excited to be here and excited to talk about books.
Well, this is great. Okay, so, and you know, I didn't know, I thought there were another guest with you because I'm very smart. I should know better because I should know. I have like a lot of names. I go back and forth. Nobody knows what, you know, that's why I go back from Marsha Casper Cook to I was Madison Montgomery, then I Max Irving, and then Lady Jane Sinclair. So I actually, I'm not sure who I am anymore, but I put them under because I write children's too, so that was a problem for me. So I should have thought about that. But then I did, figured it out.
Yeah, and I teach writing classes to children as well, and so I wanted to keep it separate. My pen name isn't a secret identity or something.
It's true because it is. I know people get very standoffish. They do, and you know. Mm-hmm. They just, I don't know, it has nothing to do if you write sexy or the type of person you are. I mean, I don't get that, but that's what happens when you're also, you know, involved with children. And it's just kind of closed, you know. It's kind of hard, though. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything else. It's just a different form of writing, you know, but people get very upset about that.
I wouldn't want my young readers to pick up one of my Abigail Drake books and think it was age appropriate for them.
I know. This is a true thing. I know it's very difficult. Okay, Susan.
Yes. Hello.
Okay. There you go.
I'm very excited to talk to Wendy and Kelly and Melissa. You know, over the phone. It's nice.
It will be good.
Okay,
tell us about yourself.
Yes. So I write contemporary romance mostly. I have like one young adult and a few suspense romances. But I'm also a hairdresser. I've done hair for over 10 years. And I'm finishing my teaching degree and raising my three kids.
Well, that's quite a bit.
Yeah,
can we talk hair? Can we talk a little hair later?
Absolutely. We should. Oh, my God.
I'm putting like a lot of hairdos on and style. I think it's so much
Absolutely.
Fun with Pinterest and all of that. It really is.
Oh,
fun.
Yes. It really is. Oh, I love it.
Kelly, it's your turn.
Hey, Marsha.
Hello.
Coming to you from hot Atlanta, Georgia.
All right.
And I write spicy romantic suspense novels. And my first novel, Unexpected, came out this past December. And my second novel, called Love Song, is going to be releasing next Thursday.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. You know, see, that's the thing. It is so exciting. And, you know, we're all, you know, well, the good thing is that, you know, if you want to share things, I just want to bring this up. I hope people are listening, which hopefully they are. And we do a lot of, you know, people go into the archives. I think one of the things is we would all appreciate one thing, sharing it. Because the likes, it's really nice that people like things, but if they don't share it, it doesn't get around as much. It's so much better if they share it, but I don't think people get that sometimes. They think if they like it, it might, you know, other people will see it, but they don't see what's on your page.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things I love about Inkspell Publishing.
Yes.
Is this group of authors.
Yep.
I mean, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing without their help and their expertise. And, I mean, I always go into our closed group page and ask questions. And
yeah.
there's always somebody that has this fantastic answer that I would have never come up with. And it's just, it's so awesome to be
yeah.
a part of this family. I mean, I just
yes.
have to throw that out there. So
it is good that you could do that. And I wanted to say
that's
to
the
audience what
we
we're doing tonight. I wanted
family.
To add something about one thing. What we're going to do tonight is I'm not only the only one going to ask questions. Everybody can ask questions. So those that are listening, that's what I opened. It's more of like a discussion so everybody can talk to each other if, you know, they want. Okay, just so they know. So I'll just leave now.
Cool.
I can go now, right? Can I leave? That's it.
I'm going to sit here and gab.
Right.
This is Wendy. I wanted to say that Melissa has been wonderful to work with.
Uh-huh.
She responds immediately anytime we have a question
mm-hmm.
or a problem.
Yep.
She's super
yep.
flexible, very friendly and mm-hmm. warm. And as Kelly has said, she's created a really nice family of writers. And we call each other the Inkspell sisters sometimes.
That's nice.
Because, yeah, and often we'll do book signings and things like that together. And I've met with a few of our Inkspell people at different book signings, and it's always been kind of like we've known each other for so long because of knowing each other through Inkspell. So it's a great, great
yep.
community.
Yep.
See, it does matter. It does matter that, you know, you have some, because, you know, no matter how long, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been writing for a long time, but you still learn different things from other people. And I think the
yes.
problem is when people think they don't have to learn anything. You know, I mean, every time I have a guest on, I actually have a piece of paper and pen here, because I do take notes a lot of times of things, you know, because you just, some things I know, you know, or Melissa will know, you know, everybody. So it's like, it's very
mm-hmm.
good that you can talk to each other, because that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, Melissa's very giving. Melissa's giving, very giving.
Thank mm-hmm. you. And that's one of the things that we do. I really have made this a thought process of trying to create that family. So we do have this group that we get, you know, along in, and so we can share information. I post information about
mm-hmm.
Resources that the girls can use or that the authors can use to help publish their books, to help promote their books. And then
mm-hmm.
even each other, they put out there, hey, I've got a release coming next week. Can you share? And there must be 15 people who always respond who say, yep, no problem.
Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, I see this, you know, when I started doing shows, I actually responded to an ad on Facebook, and I figured, well, you know, they said you want to read like a few minutes on a show, and I went, I'm like, all right. I really didn't want to do any shows, and I did that. And, you know, and then I met a lot of different people from all over, and I think, but what has happened now is people don't share as much. They're just, I don't know what happened to all of these people, but they're not doing that. And I think that, you know, when you see now, like I know I myself have to put money in Facebook ads for people to, even though I know a lot of people and I have a lot of different guests on my shows, they don't seem to share. So, you know, if anybody wants anything, you know, shared, all they have to do is go on my Facebook page and ask me, you know, and I'll share it, because
mm-hmm.
I think people don't understand that everybody doesn't see everything. They really,
right.
that's the thing. They don't see it. And Melissa, you've been in this for a while. You know this. It was very different before. I think when you put something out, a lot of people saw it. But, you know, but sometimes they don't see it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
promotions change.
Yeah.
Now, what
yeah.
works
yeah.
today isn't going to work tomorrow, and it may not work for every book. So what we
right.
try and do is provide people with a variety of things. One of the things that I really enjoy is that KG Kelly, she does something really unique when she talks about promoting her books. I mean, she has this talent that I wish I had, in that she's a great singer. And so she incorporates some of that.
That's a good thing. What do you do? Songs?
I've been dubbed the singing author in my community. I'm a backup singer in a national tour. And so I had the grand idea that when my first book came out that I was going to have this elaborate book release party, and it turned into my own cabaret act.
Oh, that's so fun.
It was fabulous. And so now I've got a promo video on my website now for my cabaret act that incorporates a lot of this writing journey and a lot of romantic spicy songs, and it's so much fun to be doing something that I love and incorporating it into this writing career as well. So yeah,
that's good. That's really great. That is. So do you make YouTubes? Do you make YouTubes also, or just how do you do
that? No,
that?
I don't do that. I mean, I'm on the road with a national tour, and I always let the Inkspell girls know if I'm going to be, you know, up north or out west, because I want to meet you guys someday. I want you to like show up on stage. And we scream and wrap our arms around each other.
That actually happened when I met Kim Briggs. I met one of our authors in Abaquanning in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, and we were screaming and hugging each other. So it's exactly like that, Kelly.
Oh, I
I think
wait.
It is. I think it would be fun. You know, we're all over the place. I mean, there's very few people that I know, you know, that I've ever had on my show from Chicago. They're always from other places. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, I've had people from Australia, from England, from Israel, all over, you know, and all over the United States. And it is nice, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why some people really like to go to conferences. I just haven't found a conference, you know, that I think I want to go to. I mean, I know that that's a good thing to see the, you know, people that you know, for years. But
mm-hmm.
so is anybody planning to go to any of the conferences or lately? New?
This is Wendy, and I'm going to Pen Writers in May. Pen Writers is a Pennsylvania conference, obviously, but it alternates between being in Pittsburgh and being in Lancaster every other year. And someone dubbed it the best small conference you can go to in the
really?
States.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
wow.
And the reason I like it is because it's small enough that you can get to know people, but it's large enough that you have quite a bit of big names coming in as far as speakers are concerned. I can't remember that the keynote speaker this year is Chuck, and I think it's Sam Bacino. I know I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but he writes the guide to editors and agents, you know, the giant guide that they have. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so he's going to be a really interesting keynote speaker. And they have lots of agents and editors, and they also do workshops. So I like it because it's not just romance. It's different genres, so you get exposed to lots of different things.
And what's it called again? What's it called?
Pen Writers.
What?
P-E-N-N. Uh-huh. Penwriters.org.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, Marsha, I'm planning on going to Moonlight and Magnolia's conference.
Oh, nice.
Who just said that? Who said that one?
Moonlight.
That's Kelly.
Oh, Kelly. Okay, Moonlight. And where's that one?
It's in Atlanta. It's part of the Georgia Romance Writers Association. It's their annual conference that's held in September. So, and I'm trying. I sent them my cabaret promo video, and wrote them and said, wouldn't this be a nice little like warm up for the keynote speaker? We could have a sing along, you know? I don't know. I thought it was funny.
I know, but sometimes people get very, very serious. So, you know, which is, you know, I mean, but I actually was saying this today in my office. I was saying, you know, it's really too, people don't know how to have fun anymore. They're too serious, you know. I mean, you know, it's really good to have a good time, you know, and not be so serious, you know. I mean, maybe it stems from that's what I did when I was in school, so I guess it carried through, you know, which is not good for the teachers. I'm sure, Melissa, you would wanted me in your class, you know, but it's, you know, it's true. But, you know, I do think people get really serious, you know, even that's why I did, when I did this show, when I first did the show 7 years ago, the person that started Red River Writers, and they're still doing shows, not April, the one that started it, but Delaney, oh, she has still Red River. And, you know, I always remember, like, during her show, she would, like, answer her door, her dog would bark. I thought, oh, this is really great because she's so, like, loose about this. I think this is good, then I'll do it. Because I didn't, you know, I think a lot of people when they come on shows, they are kind of nervous because you don't know what the host is going to ask you. And you don't, you know, and sometimes people ask questions that you have no idea what they're talking about. So you don't want to act like you're dumb, but you answer it and maybe not in the same way they were thinking. Because they, you know, and I do think writers, they need to, like, express themselves and have a good time, you know, because I think we all get stressed, you know, when we're writing, you know, everybody's their own worst enemy sometimes because they're going like, who's going to read this or, you know, or I could do it better. You know, we're very critical. I think we, I don't know about you guys, but I'm critical on myself much more than I should.
That's part and parcel of the writer experience.
Does that come with the territory? Well, that will be. That's why one of the reasons I'm going to have that show, because it'll be interesting to hear what people say about, you know, some of the TV shows and movies that are out. You know, what people really think of the characters, because people now are really involved in characters much more than they ever were, and you know, due to Twitter and everything else, you can, you know, they have after the show chats, you know, on a lot of the shows, which I haven't really been to, but. Yeah, has anybody been to those where they they're talking?
Oh, I follow This Is Us and Outlander.
This Is Us. Well, maybe you want to come. Who just said that? Who said that?
That was Kelly.
All right.
The conversation.
Well, when I have This Is Us show, because we're going to have a show for about This Is Us, because that's one of the things that I put out there because people really love it. And we're going to just talk about it because they're really, really good characters on that show. You know,
well,
the
producers of This Is Us, they're remember 30-something? That show 30-something?
Yeah, Ken Olin. Ken Olin and those people are on. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's the same writers and producers, I think. So, yeah, it's definitely resonating.
Well, because they really go to the heart of issues, you know, and I think in a lot of the issues people relate, and I think that's, you know, that's really a good thing, you know, and that's what I think the popularity of that show is because people relate to it, you know, in some way or another, because sometimes when you're, like, if people have siblings and, you know, when you're at a family dinner, you start treating your sisters or brothers, whatever, the same way you did when you were, like, five, you know. Because you see them that way. You know? You know, it's like you're still mad at the same things you were mad at when you were five.
Absolutely.
And I think
that's what this show is.
What?
Marcia, what does that say for me, though, if my favorite show is Criminal Minds?
Not much.
I love that show.
Not that much. Well, because we all have dreams. We have dreams and thoughts, right? That's what can we say?
I'm going to go out and survive serial killers.
I've had a lot of horror writers on and shows, and I stopped saying horror writers because Elizabeth Black does shows with us now, World of Ink. But the thing about when you say horror writers, people go like, oh my God, I don't like those kind of books. But that's really thrillers. I think it's like a dark thriller, a horror movie, you know, and to me, once you say horror, then you go like, oh, people don't want to listen. But it's really the same as a very dark, dark story, I think, which is why Criminal Minds and all those shows do well.
Right. People are naturally drawn to that as well. I teach a class at a local library on speculative fiction, and we discuss, it's with children who are ages 11 to 16, and we discuss sci-fi, fantasy, and horror. And those kids love horror.
I know they do.
And some of it is gentle. It's like Goosebumps and R.L. Stein and stuff like that they're into, the younger kids. But they love to read it. They love to write it.
Right. So what do they ask you? Do they ask you, what do they say? They just want to talk about it?
It's a writing class.
I usually give
them prompts, which are either a picture or a short, you know, start to a story or something like that, and they randomly have to pick the prompts, so they have to work with what they're dealt, basically. And they love it. They love coming up with these scary stories. And we talk about building suspense and to see who can scare the rest of the class with their story. And, they really enjoy it. They enjoy that genre. Mm-hmm.
I think that's true.
There's so much into having power over everything else around them. I mean, finding themselves being more independent, that by having, you know, a killer or somebody like that come into that and they can solve it and be the hero,
yes. It
really does set it up.
Which is probably why
paranormal
sounds
so interesting.
And
I mean, that sounds so interesting.
Yeah. Probably
just thinking already. I'm thinking maybe we should have shows like this. I should do that for you because there's so many people out there that like to, you know, get involved in things, you know, and I think because of Twitter and Facebook and all this, there are more people involved in things that never were before, you know. I mean, I always wonder, you know, everybody has their phone, so whenever people are out, they're always on their phones. You don't know what they're doing, you know, and it's kind of like people are either, you know, I never thought I would even be able to read on my phone, but I do now. It's like I'm thinking, why not? You know, if you're sitting having a cup of coffee, why not? You know, and people do things. It's so much, you know, more than, you know, promoting now. It's more than like getting to know people and see different things. Like, I'm sure that everybody gets tons of emails about this way to market, that way to do this. And, you know, you put them in a file, but you don't even go to them sometimes because there's so much out there. And our minds get confused, you know, on what to do sometimes. Right. I think so. You know, and sometimes I just go, oh, forget it. You know, I'm just, like, getting rid of everything. And I just delete everything. I can't even look at it. It's too much, you know.
It's overwhelming.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I sign up for things. I sign up for different sites, and then as soon as I sign up, they go, like, this email address has been used. I've already done it. You know, I think I've been doing this too long, maybe.
I sign up for workshops and then get so behind on them, online workshops, I never catch up. But I think the key with marketing is to do what you feel comfortable with and what works for you, and trying to find that, like what Kelly said about being a cabaret singer. And sometimes you're able to find it because you plan it out, and sometimes you find it completely by accident.
I think that's true. I agree.
I read an article recently about, like, when do you post on Facebook? What are the best times? And I finally threw my hands up in the air, and I'm like, you know what? The best time is when I feel like it.
Right.
That's true, Melissa. Yeah.
I have met a lot of people online late at night. There's a lot of people that go late at night. They're out late at night.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the only time they can do it. Because I think
when people
are looking for answers.
People want an answer that fits everybody. But really what you're hearing are just other people's opinions. And most of that won't work for you. So you have to kind of listen to it, see what you can take away from it, but not get overwhelmed by the volume of it.
That's
right. Well, and I love to follow, I follow so many authors and just watch what they're doing and see what's working and cheer them on when things are working. I mean, I think that it's okay to celebrate other people's success. You know, so many people are so inward.
I know.
You know, me, and it's like, why does it have to be that way? Why can't we all just support each other and in all of our successes? You know,
I totally agree. I agree because I think that one of the problems is, you know, what works for one, like you said, doesn't work for someone else. And I've decided that everybody's looking for the answer, but honestly, there isn't an answer. There is not one answer. And I listen to a lot of webinars, you know. Like you're saying, workshops, webinars. I think that some of them are really good, though. You know, you learn new things, you know, but it might not work.
You definitely do. But sometimes if you're very busy, you get overwhelmed. I'll tell you something funny that happened to me. I wasn't really looking at this as a way to market my books, but my husband is from Istanbul, and my nieces still live there, and they were quite small, and they came to visit, and he had a puppy at the time. So I started writing a little story for them every day on Facebook. I made a Facebook page for my dog. His name is Capone. And I just wrote a little story every day for my nieces. it wasn't for anybody else. I just opened this page and put a little picture of the puppy and said what ridiculous thing he'd done to me that day. And the girls would read it, and they'd say thank you, and they'd call me and talk about it. But I started noticing other people reading it. You know, a few of my friends or whatever saw it, and then more people and more people and more people. And now I have about 10,000 people a week who view
The
Wonder Dog. Yeah, and this is not something I planned at all.
Well,
and
I think that's really something else. That's good because, you know, I have a story called Grand Central Station, and there's a dog that talks in it, you know, and so because I kind of believe people do talk to dogs. So I have now I'm doing another one of my screenplays as a novella, but this time I added a dog because, you know, for me it is so much easier to write for dogs than, I don't even have a dog now. I did when I was little, but for me, I can write for a dog better than anybody, than I can write a character in some ways because they can say whatever they want.
But it's interesting that you did that. It has to happen organically. Like, if I had set out and said, I want to start a Facebook page for my dog that will develop my reader base and make me well-known, you know, as a writer or whatever in our area, and I never would have done it. It would have seemed completely ridiculous. But
right.
I just started this just for my nieces, and now it's become quite a thing where if I don't post every day,
How do people find that page? Where is it, on your blog? Or?
It's a Facebook page. It's called Capone the Wonder Dog. And he's a black lab. he's ridiculous. But, you know, it even gets to the point where I was in the grocery store the other day and the cashier turned to me and said, oh, my God, you're the dog lady. How would you know that? Because I don't have my picture. I don't put any pictures of myself on the blog. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, I have the most famous Labrador in Beaver County, Pennsylvania.
But that's a good thing. I have a lot of different pages too. You know, I think that sometimes, you know, going out of the box is not a bad thing. I sometimes am way out of the box. So it's like, and you know, you really can't ask people about something because if they say, you know, what are you going to do that for? Then you won't do it. You know, like I know in my book that my editor would always say, you know, well, do you want the dog to talk? I go, yeah, I do, you know, and I didn't have him talk as much. And then I was sorry because people really like the dog. So now the dog is taking a more, the new dog I have is taking an act. I have another name because it's another story, a different dog. But, you know, and I put it on my Facebook page so people would get to know the dog and see what the dog looks like. And then all of a sudden people started coming in, and I'm thinking like, oh my god, I don't know. Everything else I do, they don't care about, but the dog they like.
But
you
have to think of what you like, you know, what your hobbies are,
agree.
Like what Kelly did, and what you're passionate about, and something that's not anything to do with your writing, and it has to be kind of a soft sell. It has to be.
Yeah.
I don't talk about my books all the time. When I have a release or something like that, I'll put a picture of the dog, you know, sitting next to one of my books and say, she has a release day again and blah, blah, blah. But I don't shove it down people's throats. The page is about the dog. They all know I'm a writer. They all know what my website is. They all know where to reach me, but I'm not, you know, shoving it down their throats.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that actually that's a good idea, you know, because, you know, but the thing about Facebook is, you know, people, like because I have a lot of pages, different people come into different pages. So I kind of like that because I do it separate, but it is a lot of work, which sometimes I get crazy and I think I put it on one page and I didn't do another. And I know I can't do just one page because if I do different things, I try to put it on, but it does get bad. But I think for with children's books, like we were talking before, it's hard when you're doing different genres and different things to keep up, you know, with all of the things that unless you're like a person that likes to do 100 things, which is me. You know, I'm not satisfied with one, you know. But I do think you got to try stuff because you don't really know and you have to have a good time doing it. So that's like the motto now that I'm just following because I am not like anybody else and none of us are, you know.
Mm-mm. You know, one of the things, Marcia, that you said that really resonates is the fact that our genres are much more blended these days, too.
Yeah.
So we're not pigeonholing ourselves where we can only write. I mean, when you think back to the 80s, that were very popular during the romance cycle, every time an author came out with a new type of genre, their name changed. And so maybe, you know, she was Nora Roberts for here.
Right.
She was J.D. Robb for here. And now we're writing so many different genres where, you know, the story can be suspenseful, but it can be also still a romantic comedy.
Yes.
You know, you can have a murder mystery going on. And what's funny is because I take these wonderful stories that these people have written and I try and find these categories for them. And I'm like, is this young adult? Is this new adult?
Yeah.
Is this paranormal? Is this
because you know why this and you know what makes it so hard is Amazon, because they only give you some different certain genres. And it wasn't now it's hard to figure out where to put a genre that fits sometimes, because if it fits in a couple, you don't, you know, you don't know where to put it. And because everybody does think of, we don't know how people are going in, if they want a love story, they want a romance story, they call it, you know, fiction. You don't really know. That's the problem is, and it has to be labeled, which is difficult for authors, I think, now.
Well, and then what I love about this is that we have so many things.
Yeah.
You know,
so if the sexy ones, how about the sexy one? All right, so where do you, like, the, you know, I think I have issues with trying to place it and putting words in the right, you know, category. So how do you, for sexy stories, is that what you say, sexy, or what do you say, any of everybody on here? Does anybody have anything special they
spicy.
Write?
Spicy.
Spicy. Yeah, I have spicy.
Spicy.
I think that,
sizzling.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sizzling.
Yeah.
Because I think it's hard.
The Inkspell site does not take things that are very over the top. We do not, our branding is spicy or, you know, sexy, but it's not erotica. It's not BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gone that way yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because that's, you know, from what I've learned, it's very tough now to do in the BDSM market because Amazon is not, you know, I don't write BDSM, but I've had people on, but I think that they had said that they don't push, not that they don't push them, but they're like at the bottom sometimes. Mm-hmm. But some of the people that write that, they get, they must have been on for a long time because they already have readers, you know.
So they get all tied up in Amazon.
Thousands, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But see, Inkspell also sells a lot of young adult. And so have both a young adult and to have BDSM it's too much. So we had to make a choice on where we were going to go. And our young adult has always been very popular.
Yeah, the emphasis that Inkspell places on young adult is what actually drew me to Inkspell, because I knew my books would be a good fit with the other books that were already being offered there. And I have a friend, her name's Stephanie Keys, and she's, I believe she was the first person, Melissa, published by Inkspell. Was she one of the first?
She was one of the first. I was her editor at that point.
Yeah, I thought so. But she had nothing but good things to say about Inkspell. And so I had about 10 offers for my first book, and I went with Inkspell based on those things, because both word of mouth and because also I didn't hear anybody say anything bad about Inkspell. And if you look carefully enough, writers like to complain, especially in print. And so if you can't find something bad said about an editor or an agent or a publisher, then you have a really good idea that they're a good person to work with.
Yeah, and you know, and the other thing is sometimes people – you know, say bad things about people for no reason at all. And that's a little bad. And that does happen a lot.
Sour grapes. A lot of it is sour grapes. Their books.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Whatever.
And but the fact is, but people that are reading things, even in reviews, you know, and the issue is, you know, a lot of times how sexy or, you know, is the book? If they just have sex in it, every book, I mean, you know, any novel, just pick up a novel that's a thriller, whatever, there's sex in it. So, I mean, that's the problem is once you start putting yourself in that category, sometimes you lose people for no reason other than just labeling it the wrong way. And that's hard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just write a novel.
Melissa, I emailed Melissa about 2 weeks ago because I thought a mistake had happened on Kobo, you know, where you can buy books.
I'm on Kobo now. We could talk about that in a minute.
I had a 1-star review that had no backup to it. And I'm like, well, somebody must have, like, hit it, and they left the site, and now it's there. And Melissa, bless your heart, you talked me through it, and you reminded me that there are those people out there that do have sour grapes. And then you even told me about someone that was mad because you put a child in a story that they didn't think a child should be in that story or something like that. And I was like,
right.
Really?
Yep.
People get bent out of shape for weird things.
They do.
But it really hurt my feelings. So if you're out there, shame on you.
Well, you know what? That's the thing, right? You know, I was an agent for years, and, you know, and I tried to get agents for years before that. And, you know, it's like, you know, when you get rejected or in that way, but when people, you know, maybe from a publisher, whatever, and it's not maybe a rejection on your work. Sometimes it's kind of they don't want that genre. They, you know, they're looking for something different. But when somebody
does that and writes something out
for no reason, this is so not right. You know, I mean, there's something, I mean, that's a bad thing. And, you know, because, you know, it can hurt a writer, and it's really, I don't know why people do that, but they do that. And there are a lot of people out there that like to do a 1-star, you know, just even not reading a book. I hear it all the time, and it's terrible. I mean, but and the reader, basically, when someone's reading a book, they don't care sometimes who the publisher is. They're not. You know, it's not the same as all of us. We look at who published it, whatever. But when they're just looking to read a book. That's it. They want to just enjoy a book, and they don't, you know, when someone really slashes that or makes up something, and I've had a lot of authors that have said that it's terrible. You know, I mean, there should be a way to get some of the stuff off, but you can't sometimes. You know,
but you can never respond. You can't respond to it. You can't. Just let it go. Like, just.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody wants to, and there are some people that have done that, and I myself did one, because I wrote a Holocaust survivor story to life, and it was truly taken from her life, and it had nothing to do with me. I would go to her house, and she'd write, tell me everything, and I wrote it just the way she told it to me, and I've told the story many times before, and somebody put a review. I mean, it's a nonfiction book. And it's her story. They didn't like that they were giving advice that she should have done something she should have had her daughter at the wedding. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, what? I mean, I can't change it. You know,
and taking her life.
Yeah, and, you know, this was several years ago. And it's the book, people like it. It's, you know, but it's her story. There were a lot of things I would have changed in the book, but it's her story, and
that's,
I did it
right,
exactly as she wanted it. And so when people are writing something like, well, why didn't she take her daughter to the wedding, and why did she do this, and she wasn't nice about this, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. So I did say something, but I've never done that again, but I just felt like this is not something I'm in control of. So I know because you're not supposed to do that, but, you know, sometimes you are tempted.
That's a little different.
Yeah, but sometimes you are tempted, you know, because, you know, some people, you know, luckily I haven't had too much like that, but there are people that get really upset about that. I'm used to, you know, I've had rejections, tons of them years ago, and I can handle it. And certainly with a new writer, when someone does that, I mean, then don't even review the book. Don't talk about the book. Just forget you read it. You know what I mean? Just leave it alone.
It's the best thing to do.
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions they want to ask each other? Anything you want to know about each other or work? Okay, we'll just...
Well, I think, Wendy, are you going to be at the Frankenmuth, Michigan this year? The
Once
Upon
a
Book?
Okay.
So there's going to be
a
few Inkspell people
with you.
Yes, there's going to be a couple of Inkspell authors together at that
I think Lindsay Ryan
Once Upon a Book
is going to be there.
Yeah, Lindsay will be there. And then I don't know if Mark's coming or not. So
not
and where
sure.
is that,
that one?
Which one is that? Let's say it again so people can hear it. What's
Once Upon a Book.
Okay.
It is in Frankenmuth, Michigan, and it's really a family-centered type of author signing, and they even have a ball the night before. There's children who are authors who are there.
Oh, that's cute.
You know, it's family-friendly. It's right there at the Splash Park at the Frankenmuth Bavarian Village. So there's lots of fun things to do for your family and friends, and it really is a fun time.
And
I believe it's in August.
Oh,
yes. Yes, I think it's August 11th through 13th, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that.
There's so many of them. See, that's the thing, you know, is to know which ones to go to. That's, you know, that's what a lot of people, you know, they want to choose one that they would like to go to. I don't love flying, so I kind of want to pick one that I would like to go to, but I'm not sure, you know, because I do different genres, but, you know, my children, you know, because it is hard when you do different genres to decide what you're, you know, where you fit in these shows, you know, because people are very close-minded because I see that. And I even see something now with I have a book called Guilty Pleasures, and it's just a novella. But, like, audio books, the narrator did the first part of it, she, had to change some of it, and I really didn't use a lot of, you know, things that could be, you know, it wasn't that sexy. You know, it was sexy, but not, you know, I don't think it was that over the top or anything like that. But now, all my other audiobooks are on, but this one, I keep calling, and they go, yeah, it's approved, but they don't have it on, so I don't know what's going on there. You know, I guess it's difficult, you know. I mean, I like audiobooks. How does anybody feel about the audiobooks? I mean, I enjoy listening. Some people don't.
Well, yeah. I actually was I was the voice behind an audiobook many years ago when I did voiceover work called Protecting Sharks, and it was a suspense novel. And I loved it. I loved being a character, but my background is theater. So, of course I love it, but I would absolutely die to have one of my books be an audiobook and where I could play one of the characters, of course. So,
you know, a friend of mine just published a book on how to create audiobooks. Her name's Renee Mason, and she won the Audi Award last year. It's AUDI, like it's like the Grammys for audiobooks.
That's great.
And her book, she won in the erotica category. I believe it was for her book called Saving Dr. Vincent. But she wrote this really good book on creating an audiobook and how to do it and what you should look out for and what you should watch out for. So I'm very excited. And she's actually, I'm the president of Three Rivers Romance Writers in Pittsburgh, and Renee's going to come and speak to our group at the end of April.
Fun.
So I'm looking forward to learning about it from her.
Well, the ACX, Melissa, do you have any of the books on ACX?
No, this is one of the nice things that I've done for my authors is that they've retained their audio rights, so they are able to decide if they want to put their book up on audio themselves.
Oh, okay. So ACX, then I'll talk about this for a minute. ACX is Audible's, and it's part of Amazon. And what you do with it is you put your book out on ACX. It's called ACX. You go in there, and as soon as you put your book name in, Amazon picks it up, and everything comes in there. And then you can do 50-50, so you don't have to pay anything. So the narrators pick it up if you put it out there, or you can ask some of the narrators. There's thousands of them, I think, narrators. But you put your book out, and then somebody will, and Amazon takes care of everything. You don't talk. You don't. No money passes through you or the other one. And if you choose 50-50, then they do the production of it. So and it works out good with my children's books. The problem is children's books. The parents would rather have their kids read the book. So the audio, I think it's still new and upcoming for that. But it's ACX and Amazon. It's part of an Amazon company, but it doesn't cost you money, because it can cost a lot of money. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I think, yeah, and audiobooks, you really, it's all about the breathing too. It sounds like you can do this, but it's not easy to do, because each breath matters.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to do your own, you know, like, you know, it is difficult to do your own. So you
yeah.
need somebody that, and you know, some of the audiobooks, some of their voices are not great. And sometimes when I listen to audibles, you know, if you don't like the voice of the person, then it really ruins the book for the person. You know, I mean,
Marcia, you don't have the power to pick and choose. Like if you say, I don't want this narrator.
Oh yeah, you do. Yeah,
right
you totally choose them. You totally. What
mm-hmm.
happens is once you put the book out, you get people that audition for you, and you just say no. You just or ignore it. Oh yeah, no, nothing. They don't pick anything for you, and that's all they do. And then that's if you don't want their voice, you just
mm-hmm.
you just don't ignore it or don't say anything. And when the right voice comes along, then you take it.
Oh, that's
yeah,
great.
There's
very
no
cool.
yeah. The only thing is I don't love about it, but you give it away for several years on ACX. But I figured
it's
because it's audible.
Yeah.
7 years. I would never tell anybody to do this years ago, but you know, I think Audibles is up and coming. So I think, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can see why it's going to take time, I think, for this to be bigger than
mm-hmm.
it is. And they do talk about it a lot on TV, Audibles. But
mm-hmm.
no, you
mm-hmm.
are truly, you are, but you do not have to say yes if you don't like their voice.
Yeah. I can't imagine listening to the erotica.
Yeah. Do any of you girls have Audible?
No.
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 Do you want to?
Yes. See, I don't like audiobooks. I find it's very hard to have the male and female voice
mm-hmm.
coming from the same character.
I agree.
So I've listened to quite a few of
totally.
Those where you have one character doing
mm-hmm.
a guy or a girl, and they're playing both
yep.
voices.
Yeah.
And it becomes
well,
very
you know,
hard
yeah,
for me.
I know. It could be bad. You know, my children's
mm-hmm.
books, you know, I picked people with English accents, you know, because I think anything that English accent, anything they say sounds great. I don't know. It sounded good to me. And, you know, and when I
yeah.
first heard my book, and actually when I heard what my books, and it's a really good experience, because it's almost weird to hear your book being read by somebody else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, like, I have a book called Love Changes, and I put it out there a while ago, and I didn't even think about it, and then this guy comes in, because I knew it probably, I have other women doing the other ones, but he came in, and my editor once said to me, ask for a man. You can ask what kind of narrator you want. There's a lot of different questions. And so I heard his voice, and I went like, oh, this is good, because this would have been it's so much better with a man. It's not done yet, but then with a woman's voice. So I think it does matter. And I don't know, sometimes when you hear it, it works, you know, if it's just one. You know, once you get used to the voice in the audio,
yeah.
I
yeah.
think the story works well. And I knew that, and I'm also having a woman do my Virginia Templeton stories. I changed the name so many times. This way I made it Nothing Lasts Forever. And I really thought that book would really sound much better in an audio. And it does. You know, it's something, so it's
mm-hmm.
kind of like you always have to hear it to know. But it's really, you don't, it doesn't cost anything. So it's
mm-hmm.
kind of fun, and you know, and it may not be for everybody, but I do think it's not a bad thing to do for an extra thing for your book, you know, an extra avenue
yeah.
for your book.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Yep.
I personally enjoy audiobooks.
I do too.
Because
yeah.
I'm usually writing all day long, and so whenever I have a chance, it gives me a chance to listen to something as I'm cooking, as I'm driving somewhere,
right.
or
yep.
as I'm waiting for my kids' soccer or whatever, and I can just
right.
be in that.
I think so too.
I really
you
enjoy
know.
It.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
look into it. It's ACX, and it's, you know, it's, yeah, you don't, you can pay the people, but you don't have to, because, you know, if you go for the 50-50, then you don't pay anything. So, and I think, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of them are really good voices, you know, and some,
mm-hmm.
as soon as you hear the voice, you go, oh, no, this is not happening. No, but no.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
and there's really a lot. And actually, I, you know, The audio that you hear at the beginning of the show, that was from somebody that I had. She did a book for me, and she did it in an English accent. It was wonderful. And then she disappeared. This is really true, and I couldn't find her anymore. She did the audio for here, and she did a book, you know, a couple books, and then I thought, and we were talking on the phone. She just disappeared. So Amazon took care of it, you know, ACX took care of it. Because it's a contract, you know, so they couldn't find her either. I don't know what happened to her. So she disappeared. So now, you know, I did ask one of the people that are doing my books now, do you want to do, you know, a commercial for me? But then I changed my mind because I didn't know what I wanted to say. But then you can find all kind of things on there where they're taking, you know, if you want like an audio or something, or just a commercial or an ad or something. So it's a pretty good idea. Mm-hmm. You know,
great idea.
Yeah, because it gets to be expensive, though. I think if you do it on your own, it's expensive. You know,
studio time is outrageous.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun, you know, so it's something different. All right, we're almost at the end of the show. This has been so fun and so informative. I have all my little notes here, and I'm so happy to meet all of you. So I want at the end that everybody should say their websites. And seriously, before we get off the show, I'm just saying, send me any links that you have, and I'll put them out, you know. And I hope that people that are listening, you know, will share things more, because I think it will help every author to have new people, you know, seeing what they've written. You know, I think that just would help so much. But, you know, so we'll try it that way. And let me know if you have new books or want to come on. And Melissa, you have to come on. I know this has been way long, you know. You know, because I don't book. I always add shows too. You know, because I think it's just I do still after 7 years love it. A lot of people are out of it already. They don't like it, but I enjoy it because it's always fun. And like, I didn't know your authors, so I'm so happy to meet them. And all right, so everybody want to give their links? Okay.
This is Wendy DeKetch. Okay. WendeDikec. It's WendyDeKetch.com and also AbigailDrake.com.
I must say I like that name, Abigail Drake. Sounds
like
a name made up, but that's real. Is that your real name?
No, that's a made-up name.
Oh, it is made-up name.
My mother's name. So, yeah. Wendy DeKetch is my real
name. I love that
name.
I like that name.
Hey,
this is how authors are,
Kelly.
Right? Okay. Hey,
this is
Kelly.
Kelly. I go by KG Fletcher. That's my author name. You can find me on Facebook at KG Fletcher Author, and my website is www.kgfletcherauthor.com. And if you go to my website, if you go to the Cabaret tab, you can hear a little.
I'm going to go there. I have to wait.
I'm
going to
go there too. yeah. For your listening pleasure.
Okay. And I'm also going to look at Capone.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe I'll talk to Capone, too. What can I say?
That would be nice.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
And Susan?
Yes. And my author name is Susan V. Vaughn. And my website's www.susanvvaughn.com, and you can find my newest contemporary romance, Beyond Fate, which is available in print thanks to Inkspell Publishing. So I'm really excited.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, you have the V in there, right? There are other Susan Vaughn.
Yes.
There are a few of you
V.
out there.
Yep, V like in Victor, V.
Thank you, Marcia.
Oh,
thank
you're welcome.
You.
And what about you, Melissa didn't say. Yeah, Melissa.
You can find me at melissakeir.com, MelissaKeir. And you can find these fabulous authors as well as many others on inkspellpublishing.com.
Yes, and you're all out there very good, because I've looked for all of you, you know, to see everything. And, you know, a lot of people are not out there as much as that. All of you are out there very good that you can find info on you. So that's a good thing. That's a good sign. Good sign. And I am MarciaCasperCook.com, and I am a lot of places. But I use this name because that's where everybody knows. And then it's worldofinknetwork.com. And any questions, ever, just ask me, call me, whatever, email me. And looking forward to some new shows. And so happy to meet everybody here. And thank you, Melissa, for bringing the authors on. And the best to everybody here.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye, everybody.